Carson in the Morning.
Carson in the Morning, final hour of the radio program, and it looks like, oh, you know what? I never thought overcast would be so awesome. Overcast is not bad. I like it. I was at a swimming pool on Saturday in lovely Nixa, Missouri, and I was praying for clouds, and if clouds would go over, I'd be like, okay, this is awesome. 74 degrees currently downtown on the way to a high of 89 degrees, 89 tomorrow and 88 on Wednesday. So not as bad. Fortunately, things are finally trying to break here. We have Miss Kansas, Miss America, Kendall Shonacase. I did it right on the first time.
That is right. Hey, that was pretty good.
That's
wow.
Pretty big deal. So it's spelled in a straight. It almost looks like Shonacase.
Yeah.
I'm usually pretty.
I pretty much respond to anything any way it comes out.
Well,
used to being mutated a little bit.
Welcome to the show. Glad to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we are a talk radio station, and we don't frequently have pageant contestants in the studio, just because their organizations generally don't let them anywhere near this radio station. I don't know what it is. I think it's in the rider. Don't go to KCMO and talk in the Carson in the Morning Show.
It is a little like Wayne's World-y right now. We're like, there's a girl in the studio.
My goodness.
We're wildly
luckily,
uncomfortable.
I'm from Kansas City, so this is kind of my home, so I have to be here.
Yeah. We've been talking off the air, and you just won the title of Miss Kansas for the Miss American pageant system.
Yes, that's correct. June 11th.
All right, so you won Miss Kansas. All right, now you're going to the Miss America pageant in Ocean City. Not Ocean City.
Atlantic City. That's right.
I'm thinking Ocean City, Maryland. I used to be vacation all this. So Atlantic City, you're going there. You kind of went from zero to stepped on the gas with the pageant system. You aren't one of those kids that, you know, when you were three, mom put you in the pageant system.
That is correct.
You were never part of that. You were not a lifelong pageant contestant.
Correct. So it was really in college and my eyes were open to the Miss America organization, the scholarship money involved, the service aspect of it.
Okay.
And it really just stole my heart. I mean, the first time I did one, which was Miss University of Arkansas back in college.
Okay.
And, you know, I won all the scholarship money. I didn't even win the pageant.
Yeah.
So when I learned I could get further involved in it and there was more scholarship money and so much more I can do.
Yeah.
Oh, I just ran with the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people, they think, a lot of people will look down their noses at beauty pageants. They will. They call them beauty pageants. Beauty pageants and all this.
Right.
But you used it as a way to leave college without a whole lot of debt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, you know, whatever you got to do. You know, I could think of worse things. I mean, what would you rather do? Go into great debt? A lot of the times, getting scholarships, writing applications for scholarships, mm-hmm. it's very, very difficult. But you found soon, after just trying it, originally the draw was a college scholarship.
Correct.
And you ran for that first scholarship when you were at the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the title and what sort of scholarship did you get out of it?
So it was Miss University of Arkansas, and it was hundreds of dollars. I made top five, but I did not win the pageant. So, I mean, that's the thing is there's so many stereotypes
surrounding. You could have walked away. She could have walked away. She could have just taken that, what was a crown, thrown it against the wall and said, I am out of here. But she didn't, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't.
She didn't. She fought back.
Smashed the tiara, just sat there, just watched it bust into a million pieces.
I mean, that's typically how it works for most people, right?
Really?
No. So, I can't say I've ever seen that one. That'd be new.
Kendall, can I tell you how many times, Rob, you can attest to this,
a segment
goes particularly bad? I will smack the microphone and throw a chair. So, I mean, I'll throw a fit in radio. I can only imagine what I would do if I was being judged by, oh, my God, I'd tear my clothes.
Yeah.
I'd strangle somebody with a sash. I'd be in jail.
You'd draw on your face with lipstick and sit in front of the mirror and sit for hours.
Who's pretty now? Who's pretty now?
But you didn't. You decided you'd do it again.
That's right.
And so,
one of the cool things about this organization is, you know, I was just in D.C. and I met all the other contestants.
Okay.
And everybody is, you know, there's so many stereotypes. You would think everyone's, like you're saying, throwing tiaras and kind of just out there and wild and crazy and jealous. But it's not. Everyone was so composed and calm. And I really looked up to all the other girls, which is pretty neat. That's not what you would expect from a pageant.
I think some people think sometimes there's a stereotype that there's a lot of cattiness, there's a lot of competition and all that stuff. That's not
certainly
not the vibe I get from you. You look like someone and you sound like someone. Obviously, you're well educated. You graduated with a nursing degree. You're going to go back.
After, yes, working on my doctorate of nursing practice.
Okay, working on her doctorate of nursing. So, but you use this as a way to get through college. What pageant scholarship got you?
So winning Miss Kansas was just shy of $20,000 cash scholarship that I was awarded.
Nice.
So I will use that. I can't be in school, can't work this entire year.
Yeah.
So I will be deferring my acceptance. I got into Belmont and Vanderbilt, both up in Nashville.
Nice.
So I'll be deferring until fall of 2017.
Uh-huh.
And so the scholarship money that I won will be going towards my doctorate. And then hopefully I'll win Miss America, bring home $50,000 more.
$50,000 more. That would take care of your grad school. You went to school where?
University of Arkansas.
Yeah, but locally? What high school did you graduate?
I went to Blue Valley West.
Blue Valley West? Excellent. You just graduated to what?
2012.
2012. All right, very good. So you could say hi to all your fellow grads out there who are still in school or working at a drive-thru somewhere.
Kendall.
Not from Blue Valley, by the way.
Yes. Miss Kansas.
Yes.
Kendall, let me ask you. What's the motivation to be smart and attractive? And I know that sounds condescending, but let me say this. Some people, I understand if you're not very attractive, you got to hit the books and boom, I got to make some hay here. Conversely, sometimes you're pretty, you can kind of get by on that. Where does the insane motivation come from? Because, I mean, this isn't easy to do. The pageant life is not easy.
Well, she has intelligence and looks.
But studying to be, I know a guy that's pre-med right now. He has no time for pageants whatsoever.
Right.
And first of all, he's schlubby, so he wouldn't be able to do it anyway.
It takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes all of my time and effort. Right now, I don't have very much free time at all. You know, on my Friday night, Saturday night, I'm doing interview questions, and I am prepping for Miss America.
Right.
So, I don't know, something... The field of nursing and medicine is something that has just tugged at my heart that I've wanted to do for so long.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of person where I can look at a book and memorize it. I have to work hard. I have to read that book 10 times over to really get it engraved. So I work very hard. But another thing is I love taking care of myself. I love to take care of my body. And being in the medical field, I feel like that goes hand in hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is interesting because you're in the upper echelon of the pageant system. You're the cream of the crop, one of the top 50 in the country for Miss America. And you've got to be a little nervous. I mean, geez, this is the big deal. It's a nationally, you'll see
it's televised and everything.
It's big. Do you know anything about who's going to be judging, who's going to be hosting this year and all that
stuff?
So
we don't know the judges yet. That hasn't been announced. Chris, what's his name? Same MC as last year.
Okay, all right.
From The Bachelor.
Oh, okay.
Chris Harrison.
Yeah. There you go.
Chris Harrison.
Right.
So we know that one so far. Right. But
what's the part of the competition that you like the most? What's the part that terrifies you the most?
I love the swimsuit portion of the competition.
Okay.
And not just...
That would horrify me.
It's terrifying to walk around in a bikini and heels.
Yeah.
It's just, I work very, very hard working out in the gym, dieting, really taking care of my body. So just to show off that I live a healthy lifestyle.
Okay. Gotcha.
I absolutely love it. And I love interview. I love
meeting
the judges.
Let me ask you, do you get nervous because you're not told ahead of time what you're going to be asked, right?
Oh, you have no idea.
And what are some of the
questions? They ask you to solve the world problems in 20 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... That necessary? I don't know because even politicians don't have the answers for these kind of things.
They don't.
I mean, I've heard some lousy answers from Donald Trump. You should just answer the question like Donald Trump and be completely vague. I swear. That's the big thing I would worry about because I've seen some bad answers. I mean, I've seen some bad. Remember the
Miss South Carolina from like 5 years ago? The maps question.
What was it? She said it was
that
like
was teen South Carolina. They asked her about maps and she said some U.S. Americans don't have maps. It was clear that she had no idea what she was talking about. She's trying to filibuster for the 90 seconds she had to talk, and
when I was a teenager, I couldn't answer a question like this. What kind of questions do you grill for? What are you practicing? Does somebody have a hat and just pull questions out of it, or what?
Yeah, it's pretty much current events. Staying up on top. I'm watching CNN, Fox. I use a thing called the Skim, and it sends me news updates.
Okay.
Going back and studying government policies.
Okay.
And then you have to know your fluff questions too. What's your biggest regret in life? What has been your biggest failure? Just the things you don't really
I'm living my biggest regret right now, actually. I'm living it right now in the studio working with Jared. That's an easy one. That's a piece of cake. So you have to stay up on top of world events. You read the paper.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should quiz her on some national events.
Oh, I think I have enough of that coming up in my future. I think it's covered.
She's waving me off.
You really did, though, Rob. You hit on it. Kendall, she needs to answer not like Donald Trump would answer. I want you to verbatim, like find a transcript of Trump and get up there. And when they ask you something about foreign policy, go, We are going to have the best America. Believe me, it's going to be so great. Believe me.
Everybody, world peace.
It's going to be so great. We are going to make America great. Believe me. And then everybody will be confused, but that's exactly what Donald Trump says. And I mean, it'll
Yeah,
it's all about charisma.
You know, you don't have to say anything with a lot of words.
Yeah.
You can
maybe I need to pick up a few tricks from him.
Say absolutely.
He's got
nothing.
Charisma.
Just
I'm
stay
telling
positive,
you.
Stay charismatic.
And whatever you do, as Miss America, I will be the best Miss America in the history of the Miss America pageant. That I promise you. I know I will. Yes. I like
don't
that.
Don't ask why, but all right. Let me tell you.
Well, listen, it was great to have you in this morning and get to know what it's like to be a Miss America contestant. Best of luck to you on September the 7th as you represent Kansas. What is your talent, by the way?
So I'm a vocalist.
Oh, so you're going to be singing. Have you chosen a song yet?
Yes, I'll be singing Ain't No Sunshine.
Really?
Kind of a remade version
of it. Bill Withers.
Exactly.
Okay, excellent. And what is your,
My platform.
Yes.
I want to hit on that before I leave today.
Go ahead. Please
so
do.
So my platform is Stay Alive, Don't Text and Drive.
Okay.
So this really started a couple years ago. I had a personal experience that really opened my eyes to the severity of texting and driving.
Yeah.
Never really thought it was a big deal before to be on my phone because everybody else is. So then working as a nurse, I've had a couple patients hospitalized due to accidents involving drivers who are using their cell phones.
Wow, okay.
So starting to look into the research of it and found out, turns out 11 teenagers die every single day due to texting and driving accidents.
No kidding.
So I have really taken this platform, you know, being Miss Johnson County, now being Miss Kansas, and using the voice and the media attention to really promote this issue and to bring attention to it, to educate others.
Yeah.
So I just started a pledge campaign. So anyone listening, I encourage you, go to misskansas.org, read the pledge, and click to take the pledge. Take initiative to put your phone down.
Okay.
You can also see pledge videos that are posted on my Miss Kansas Kendall Shonacase Facebook page. Uh-huh. People make selfie videos doing the pledge. Uh-huh. And then throughout the year, I'm working with Kansas Department of Transportation, and I will be – the goal is to get into all 143 middle schools and high schools across the state, educating the children about texting and driving.
Has anybody made one of the selfie pledges in a car, and you just have to be like, oh.
No, we haven't had that one yet.
Oh, really? I pledge not to text and drive.
And make a video. Oh, goodness.
So, and one more question. If you don't do Miss America, what's next for you? Just going to go to grad school?
Yeah, so I will continue to be Miss Kansas throughout the entire year, working with the Kansas Department of Transportation.
Very good, okay.
And then as soon as my reign is up in June, when I crown the next Miss Kansas, then I will be moving up to Nashville to start working on my doctorate.
All right, cool. Wow. Real nice meeting you.
She's got everything going for her. I mean,
Total package.
If this whole Miss Kansas thing doesn't work out, what are you going to do? Well, probably fall back on my brain because God's blessing. You realize you're like my Lex Luthor. You're attractive, you're well-spoken, and you're going to be pre-med here, or at least working in nursing. I'm not intelligent, not good-looking, not all that charismatic, kind of abrasive. You are my Lex Luthor, or maybe I'm your Lex Luthor. You're Superman.
Yeah, after a nuclear holocaust, she will survive and you won't.
I'll be dead and gone.
Right. Anyway, Kendall Shonacase. Welcome. I said it right again, didn't I?
Yes.
Shonacase? Good. Shonacase. Best of luck to you in September. We hope to see you as Miss America.
Well, thank you. Be sure to tune in on ABC, September 11th.
We will.
All right. Well,
now we know a contestant, Jerry. We have a connection.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we'll
have to root for Kansas.
Oh, yeah. We will totally be. Yeah, we'll figure out some. We'll wear sashes that say Kansas on it.
I am going to get Miss Missouri in here, though, and I'm going to book you again. You guys are going to have to arm wrestle. And
all right. Deal.
That's
deal.
Where my allegiance will go.
She's amazing, too. So.
It is 9:20, Carson in the Morning. Stick around.
More Carson in the Morning.
You're just making stuff up.
You go, wow, what happened?
On KCMO.
I want to thank Miss Kansas for joining us today. I got to tell you, she, as much as you might malign or make fun of pageant contestants, she is a total package. She really is. She's very charming. She's gorgeous, obviously, and she's smart. So, very good. She's doing Overland Park in the state of Kansas proud, ladies and gentlemen. September the 11th is when you can see her, and I'm going to have a sash made that just says Kansas, and I'm going to wear that. I'm going to wear that, and I'm going to paint my face blue and white. We're going to have a Miss America party. Won't be a lot of hors d'oeuvres because pageant contestants usually don't eat a lot.
Oh, so, I just thought of a great way to get her number.
How's that?
She took a selfie with us.
Yes.
And I need that selfie to put on our social media. So I'm going to go down. I think she's talking to the Vibe right now.
Yes.
I'm going to go hang around outside the studio, and when she opens the door, I'll say, hey, can I get you to send me that selfie so I can put it on our Facebook and give you exposure? And
yeah,
then
that's...
I'll have her number. And my...
You say that. It's so disturbing.
Well, it sounds disturbing because I say it pragmatically like this. I mean, if I said it like, oh, and then I'd have her number. Like if my voice was a little... I say it very flat, and it sounds like I have
then
surreptitious
I'd have her number.
Motives.
Then I'd have it.
Rob, I have surreptitious motives.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm open about it. Most people lie to themselves.
Yeah.
I'll admit, my heart's intentions are no good on this.
Oh, one, no.
But I'm still going to try.
And you have no shot. No shot ever in a trillion years. Last man on earth kind of stuff. No, sir. Sorry.
Do you see my life, by the way, where we asked her about, or I asked her about being smart and beautiful, and she seemed perturbed that I would insinuate that one can't be smart and intelligent?
Yes.
You offered me no backup on that, but you know exactly what I was getting at. There's a lot of attractive blondes who are not very smart.
They listen, and a lot of attractive men who aren't particularly smart because they don't need to work on the sense of humor.
If I was attractive, I would be dumb as rocks.
Yes.
If I was attractive, I would nothing. I mean, there's no personality.
Yeah.
But there'd be like a dial tone in my head at all times.
Yeah.
Jared, what are you thinking about? That's the only thing I'd be thinking of, that dial tone. But I'm not.
No.
I'm not attractive, so I had to develop a personality.
This is the thing. We have to make up and make ourselves attractive in other fashion, in other ways. And you know, it just happens. It just happens. She's the total package, though. She's smart in everything. Not in our league, by the way.
Text messages coming in. You got very tongue-tied, and you're speaking very quickly. Somebody said, I believe Jim in Overland Park said, for God's sake, take a breath, man. I mean, you did get a little verklempt.
We don't talk to girls very often.
We don't.
We're going to get back into what happened with the Democrat Party here in the next segment. We're going to get into that, and we're also going to talk about what Donald Trump did over the weekend. How's that sound? Because I think there's a lot to cover.
We're trying to get to it all day. This is a hot item.
Well, we got to it earlier, but then a really pretty girl came in the studio and started talking to her in Kansas.
Donald Trump's mean. He should be unifying the party right now, and instead he's being a bully again. He really is being a bully for no reason.
He's being a Richard. And I believe he is. Also, obviously, what happened with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and reaction from Bernie supporters. I did want to mention something that I thought was interesting. We saw a bellwether shift in the GOP convention this year. It was dramatic and it was different. We had the first openly gay person speak at a Republican convention in 2016. I know it took to 2016. But we've seen that to some people, it's not necessarily liberalizing the stance on different social issues, but not necessarily thinking it's a big deal is what I'm trying to say. You know, you can be proudly Christian. Does it need to be parroted from the podium? You can be proudly whatever, but does it need to, or are you going to focus on the issues that people will be able to do something about?
Well, Democrats have been disassociating themselves from this for a while. And you, even earlier in this show, I mean, we were talking about Tim Kaine, who, best I can tell, I mean, admittedly, I'm not immensely studied up on him, but I spent a few hours over the weekend reading some articles from the past. He seems to be a fairly moderate Democrat, which is why Hillary picked him. But you were mentioning, where's he at on abortion? Roman Catholic, but I got to know his abortion stance.
No.
He's kind of flipped and flopped a few times over his political career. But Democrats, certainly on the abortion issue, have been able to disassociate. All right, that's what the church believes. This is what the party believes, and I'm going to exist in the middle.
Well, I am very pro-life, but I know that we aren't going to be able to get rid of Roe v. Wade.
Right.
It sucks. It really sucks. The stance on marijuana and the Republican Party is going to surprise you. We'll get to that and the other stuff coming up. It's Carson in the Morning. Last hour of the show. Right ahead.
Text the show at 816-576-7710. But please make sure you don't do it while you're driving like that idiot next to you. This is Carson in the Morning on KCMO.
Before we get into the Donald Trump shenanigans over the weekend, State Department spokesman John Kirby caught a reporter playing Pokemon Go during a press briefing on ISIS last week. This on the heels of somebody at a private tour of... In Philadelphia, where they signed the Constitution. They were doing a tour, and somebody's playing Pokemon Go in there, where the Constitution was drafted and signed. But John Kirby called out this reporter. It's a briefing on ISIS, and this person is playing Pokemon Go. Here he is.
As the secretary said earlier today, though, and I think it's an important reminder, you're playing the Pokemon thing right there, aren't you?
I'm just give me a minute.
Did you get one?
No, the signal is not very good.
Sorry about that.
He should have had his butt booted out of the building.
Are you sure that Kirby didn't know that guy, have a relationship with him? It's kind of messing with him. I mean, you know,
he shouldn't have been playing it.
The press people, they have a weird relationship with the spokespeople. I mean, he's the spokesperson for the State Department, which means he sits in front of the same group of AP assigned. The AP has somebody assigned. The Washington Post has somebody assigned. But it's the same people every day, day after day, hearing the same.
But he was playing Pokemon. That's bullcrap.
That's an indictment on John Kirby. Maybe he needs to say more interesting things and they wouldn't be distracted. He's probably playing Tetris before that. And like, oh, thank God, something new.
Whew. Nice.
Because I have burnout Minecraft on my phone.
So Donald Trump, a couple things happened this.
Working group renewed its commitment.
What?
I pulled it up again. Sorry.
Do you want to hear it again?
No, I wanted to see the visual.
To me, it sounded kind of serious. It sounded kind of serious. Like he was like, what are you doing?
Well, John Kirby is a man who appears to be in his early 50s, maybe.
Yeah.
So he's not like, despite having, for some reason, the name John Kirby makes me think you're perpetually 30 years old.
Yes.
Doesn't that just sound like a young name? John Kirby.
Yeah.
But he's an older guy. But I was trying to see if I could see who the reporter was. Because if the reporter was like a 22-year-old. Then it would be contentious. But if it's like a 35-year-old, like maybe he and John Kirby get beers together.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think
John Kirby definitely dyes his hair, though. Much I know.
That's it.
I mean, at some point when you're 52, you got to let a little salt and pepper shine.
What are you saying?
Rob.
Okay.
Everybody knows you're not blonde, for God's sake.
I don't have very much gray. It's right here.
You don't appear to have any
gray.
Right. No. As I look at you, again, knowing that you are...
You are going to turn overnight. You have got dark hair. You're going to turn overnight. I just started getting gray a couple of years ago. Thank you very much.
My ex, Brianna, posted a picture. You know, on Facebook, you can tag a memory from once upon a time. Facebook will show you, hey, this happened four years ago. She put a picture of me. I don't know what I'm doing. It's a silly picture of me. I'm just laying in bed, though. But it's from 4 years ago. And I look... at least 10 years younger.
Yeah.
So in the last 4 years, I have aged tremendously.
Oh, yeah. Especially the last year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm starting to think that smoking and boozing might not be good for your skin.
Probably not. Probably not.
All right.
So Donald Trump said over the weekend in a Sunday interview that Ted Cruz's life in politics is over, despite the fact that Donald Trump invited him to speak at the convention, no strings attached. Donald Trump knew that Ted Cruz wasn't going to deliver an endorsement. And to me, this is just petulance. This is just, I just let it go. Let it go. We don't care about your difficulties with Ted Cruz. We don't care about your relationship with John Kasich. Better to just leave this behind you and focus on people who want to vote for you, give them enough reasons to vote for you. But he chooses to do this. Also, he said over the weekend that he plans to create and fund a super PAC specifically aimed at ending the political careers of Ted Cruz and John Kasich should either of them run for office again. All this because those two snubbed the party's convention last week. And he says he might use $20 million of his own money. First of all, that's falderal, because he hasn't used $20 million of his own money for this campaign. He's borrowed the money and expects to repay it. All right? So he's spent some of his money, but make no bones about it. The money you contribute to the Donald Trump campaign is going to pay back Donald Trump. That's what it's going to do. And everything left over is going to go for advertising, marketing, staff, and all that stuff. So I just think this, to me, it rubs me the wrong way. I started to appreciate Donald Trump a little more towards the end of the week, and I still plan on voting for him and will vote for him because, dear God, anybody but Hillary. Honestly, there's no doubt you cannot vote for Hillary Clinton unless you expect the last 8 years, but even worse. It will just get worse. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on this at 576-7710 or 816-576-7710. Do you Do you think this is just a little bit much, or should he continue this rift because they slighted him at the convention? To me, the convention is over, and Kasich and Cruz can suffer the slings and arrows of whatever seeds that they planted by not doing their endorsement, and they can do it on their own. As far as actually saying that you are going to vengefully end someone's career by spending your own money, to me, that's just honestly, it's just childish to me. At this point, it's just childish. It's an MMA fighter standing above the body of the person you just knocked out, and rather than helping them up, gracefully shaking their hands and congratulating them, standing over them and jumping up and down. It disappointed me after what I thought was a pretty darn good last convention acceptance speech. I thought it was nice. I really want Donald Trump in the next few months to be the president, to act like the president, to be presidential. This sort of stuff doesn't help, and it kind of bugs me. All right, let's go to, do we have somebody on the line I want to talk about it? No. Okay, we've done it. Yeah, anyway.
Well, there's infighting, which I get in a party, but then there's division, which I don't get. Donald Trump's supposed to be in the stage of his campaign where he's uniting both sides of the party.
Yeah.
And instead, he's dividing. There was a time for dividing. That time was 3 months ago when he was on the campaign trail running against Republicans. Yeah. Now he's running against a Democrat. So I don't understand the looking back.
I don't understand.
The fact that Donald Trump's an egomaniac.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This is all ego-driven.
It is. And I'll tell you something that really bugs me the most about it is he is the only person he needs to be concerned about defeating. The only person whose career in politics he needs to be concerned about is ending Hillary Clinton's political career. That's it. That's all. The rest of this is BS. His focus should solely be not on other members of the party and his perceived slight by them, but defeating Hillary Clinton. That is all that must be at this point. It has to be everything. This other stuff, who cares? Who cares that Ted Cruz didn't give you an endorsement? Who cares that John Kasich did not show up and stayed out of the convention? Who cares? All of that is behind us. You've got the nomination, and the number one concern for me, for Jared, for you who are following this race, for you who would like to see Hillary Clinton defeated, the number one thing and the only thing that should be talked about is why Hillary Clinton's policies will fail, why she would be a bad president, why Donald Trump would be a president, and all of that. That's where it's got to be. This falderall, this BS has to go by the wayside. So
that's never going to go with Donald Trump.
I know, though. Man. I know.
Like that, you're voting for that guy.
I know.
You're voting for a guy that will get in these pithy little ego-driven personal vendetta attacks. And to be honest, I don't want to deal with that for the next 4 years.
I
mean, you said it 2 months ago. You said, I don't want to be in the business of apologizing for Donald Trump every single day.
Yeah. No.
And I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I know me. You already are apologizing for him a little more than I even thought you would. But if you're going to support the guy, you're going to have to at some point apologize for all of his bad behavior. And that's what this is. I mean, it's not going to get better with Trump. He's not going to magically get the presidency and then not getting these little weird staring contests with world leaders. I mean, that's what bothers me. It's Ted Cruz today, and Ted Cruz maybe has some political allies, I guess, even though he seems to have made more enemies than friends. But what happens when you get in one of these little ego-driven contests with Putin? Or somebody in the Middle East,
or the Speaker of the House,
that's a big deal,
or whomever. Yeah, it's like I said, I'm not apologizing for him. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's funny. I don't think that it shows any type of strength or resolve by him. So you're mad. So get over it. He went so far as to say that not only does he not want Ted Cruz's endorsement, he wouldn't take it if he gave it. What's the point in that? I mean, you already won. You already won, okay? And by the way, a plurality of people, when polled about Ted Cruz and his lack of endorsement of Donald Trump, a plurality says that, in fact, a little bit more, a few more people actually support Ted Cruz's decision. So what the heck is the point in... I got the thing here. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Post-convention poll, plurality approve of Cruz's decision not to endorse Trump. So it looks like an even number of people still support Cruz, and an equal number of people, around 32% each, do not like the fact that he did not endorse Donald Trump. So what's the win here? Attracting the 32% who did not approve of Ted Cruz not endorsing Donald Trump? Let's go to Stu on the line. Stu, welcome to the Carson of the Morning Show on KCMO.
Well, thank you, Rob. Rob, I just have two related, very quick rhetorical questions about Donald Trump and his focus on the past and his ego. Who was that guy who wrote The Art of the Deal?
Not Donald Trump, a ghostwriter.
Yeah, who is the guy who's supposed to be the greatest deal maker of all time?
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The guy's last name was Schwartz. He wrote The Art of the Deal. And he's not supporting Tony Schwartz. He wrote The Art of the Deal.
Well, Stu was being facetious.
Yes.
I mean, it was supposed to be. Supposedly, it was Donald Trump. Yeah, in actuality, it was some other guy. Because. Yeah. Best I can tell, Donald Trump hasn't actually ever written anything, save for very crudely written tweets.
Yes, with a lot
call
of
people fat,
grammatical errors,
talk about how they have bad skin. That's sort of his deal. I don't know what to make of this. I'd be mad if I were a Trump supporter, which I am increasingly leaning towards the Libertarian Party these days, because I don't think in good conscience I can stand behind somebody like Trump and. Yeah. I mean, the guy seems to be a maniac. And you're apologizing for the fact that he's not an ego-driven maniac.
No, I'm not apologizing. I don't like this behavior.
Well, that was the rhetorical you. I think there's a lot of people, Trump supporters, that are just like Hillary supporters do, like how they look past the fact that, you know, she should probably be in jail.
Yeah.
If any other federal employee had done what she had done, they'd be in jail. And you just sort of have to, like, look the other way. Huh, I'm going to pretend like I don't know that. Everybody knows that Donald Trump's ego is, I shudder to think what would happen 18 months into his pregnancy. His presidency, if something like this happens with a world leader.
Yeah.
I mean, all it takes is some world leader to challenge him in some way, and then boom.
Like his water breaks and it's all over.
His water all over
the
floor.
You got to run him to the hospital and
rush him. There's
terrible.
That wacky thing where I grabbed the wrong suitcase and I've been preparing for it. That was every sitcom from the 50s. They got so much comedy.
Yeah,
remember the I Love Lucy? The suitcase on! Ricky's running around. It's like, Ricky, you're a...
The Secret Service men will put it in the wrong SUV and he's off the hospital. Huh?
He gets put in the wrong, the wrong taxi, and then, oh no, where'd Donald go?
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, going to come back with what have we learned today. Also, I got a couple of other interesting things that I think you'll appreciate. It's Carson in the Morning. Stick around.
Carson in the Morning on KCMO.
I just want to mention, traveled this weekend, went to Nixa, Missouri, and stayed at the Ed Loss, took my pillow with me. My daughter took her My Pillow with her as well, because once you have a My Pillow, you never go back. Still doing the 4 for special with the purchase of one premium My Pillow. You get another premium My Pillow plus 2 go anywhere pillows. Just go to mypillow.com, enter code KCMO. I'm telling you, it's going to end soon. All right? 4 for the price of 1. Go to mypillow.com, enter code KCMO. If you just want to call them, here's the number, 800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. And just say KCMO. So, for the first time, more Republicans support legalizing the use of marijuana than oppose it. It's a YouGov poll. It looks like Republicans narrowly tend to support legalization 45 to 42%. In December, Republicans had opposed marijuana legalization by 50% to 36%. So things have changed. And maybe some of these things just aren't as important as they were. I don't support legalization of marijuana.
Why not? You say you're libertarian. Why not? I'm just curious.
I say leave it up to the individual states. And I say decriminalize it.
So if Missouri decided to legalize it, you would be fine with that then?
Support
it?
I would not support legalizing marijuana in the state of Missouri.
Why not?
I would not vote for it. Well, first of all, I don't live in Missouri.
Oh.
So I couldn't vote for it.
Kansas. Kansas, it'll never happen. It'll happen.
No, it'll never happen. It'll never happen.
I just think
if the people of Missouri want to legalize pot, go for it and vote for it.
Why would you not vote for it personally?
I don't want a pot shop every other where they have take over the vaping places. Every potential car title loan place would become a pot joint.
So, Denver has regulated the amount of stores that can be in the city of Denver. So I went to Denver last year. They're not all over the place there. Now, there are other municipalities that you talk about. This is why we need regulation, because liquor stores are regulated.
Yeah.
And there's a number of liquor stores that can go up in each municipality, right? Like Mission has several of them. But if you wanted to open up another liquor store in Mission, something tells me you might get blocked because the city would say, well, we kind of hit our liquor store quota. I think there's moralistic reasons why people still hold on to marijuana, whereas I say, game on. I don't see why. I think
because you're a dope smoker, you're a dope head, you're a dope fiend.
I don't even use the product, to be honest. I just I think it's insane that we have elevated this particular substance to such the it's a weird area where it's like fairly benign. In fact, probably more benign than alcohol is. And instead of regulating it and making tax revenue, we've criminalized it. I would absolutely support legalizing it because
what if they decided
Colorado's made like $1 billion off that. I mean, with a B, like $1 billion in tax revenue.
Wait. In that case.
Yeah. Well, it used to be an underground market, and now all of a sudden people are getting tax revenue.
I'm fine if you want to vote for it in the state, and if it passes, it passes by the will of the people. If it doesn't and I decide I want some weed, I'll go to Colorado for a little pot tourism. So
I just – that's – something that young people, I mean, you talk about why won't young people gravitate towards the Republican Party. Younger people, people under 30, this is what they, even if they're like me, I don't even use the substance or very rarely will I ever use marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, I probably count on 10 fingers and 10 toes how many times I've actually been high. So I'm not a frequent user.
Yes, but I'm saying that
in the name of liberty, I think it should be legalized.
Well, should you legalize heroin and everything else?
No, because those are, again, everything the libertarian in me says that if you're not going to hurt me or my family, then and you're a consenting adult, you should be able to do what you want, meaning you should be able to ingest what you want to ingest. Mm-hmm. People that do heroin have a propensity to become zombified, meaning you become a junkie, and then you get a switchblade, and then you stab somebody in an alleyway.
Yeah.
People don't do that over marijuana.
Well, I think
certainly that, if it was in legal stores.
Well, I think that as far as the Republican convention, and as some might consider it, if you are a hardcore social Christian conservative, you would have found probably some of the nuances of this year's convention to be a little bit troubling. That's just the way it is. As far as I was concerned, it leaned more libertarian than any Republican convention I'd ever seen, and it left establishmentism in the dust, and that was to me the positive. So, but more people now, more Republicans by a small margin support. I guess this is all out legalization.
It's going to grow. Yeah. I mean, be prepared. Like I mean, I'm offering you a chance, buddy. Get on the Jared Carter position wagon because in 15 years you're going to be right where I'm at. Where you're going to be like, oh, it's absurd. I would ever fight this because
What about smoking pot at gay weddings?
Oh. And blowing it in the face of babies, of course. Okay, that's exactly what I was saying.
There's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's participating in a protest for Bernie Sanders at the Democrat National Convention. This could be the most effective protest. He is holding a fart in.
Oh, God.
He is. He's 6 hours before the convention starts. He is eating a pre-convention meal of beans, and he and his followers are going to pass gas as a protest. So,
wow.
There you go.
Political discourse in America. Have we learned anything today?
I learned
that 28,000 people die of prescription opiate addictions.
Yeah.
And Missouri perhaps should get on the program and start monitoring all these opioids that get... Anyway, you're talking about marijuana. Opioid. You can legally be prescribed opiate addiction. That's heroin.
We also learned today that a whole lot of people that wrote a $27 check to Bernie Sanders wasted their money.
Wah, wah.
All right, time for us to get out of here. Tom Becca is up next. Have a glorious Monday, guys, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Make sure to check out the podcast, kcmotalkradio.com. Look for Carson in the morning.